Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for today is the epistle lesson appointed for this, the 15th Sunday after the season of Pentecost. I read to you from Romans chapter 14, starting on the first verse and reading on through till the 12th. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the living and of the dead. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Thus far the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, we praise your name for the things that you have done for our sake. And here through your word, you're blessing us yet again with your presence. We ask that through your Holy Spirit that you give us faith to understand what it is that is being said, and we especially pray your blessings upon our hearts that we turn fully to hear your word instead of listening to the distractions of the day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends. Every year our LAMP VBS team is blessed to sit down with a band council up at Wiagmo Lake to chat at length about the things that are going on in that community. And over those years we've bowed our heads together many a time, lifting up prayers, asking God's guidance and wisdom for counsel in times of hardship and need, and rejoicing with them over the many blessings that God has given that community. Like when God's hand spared them as a forest fire broke out right on the edge of town. And when he blessed that little child, Serenity, who was only supposed to live for a day with ongoing health and increasing strength, and who will turn 2 years old this coming October 1st. Praise God. So I'm so thankful for that team, for their prayers, and for all the people that get together every time that we go up north. And the individuals on that team that have served so diligently in the ministry over these years. God has united 15 people and their various congregations, I might add, and their various denominations, from Mitchell, Wartburg, Seabox Hill, Clifford, Kitchener, and Barry, to fulfill that ongoing call to, as we say in our mission statement, nurture faith and share God's love. That actually came as a surprise to some of the people on band council. I remember one counselor asking, "You mean to say that you guys are all up here from different church bodies? How can you possibly manage to function so well when our churches up here struggle even some days to just get along?" Well, if you look at what's going on down here in Southern Ontario, we have that same problem. The same problem that band counselor mentioned. It's true of our churches down here as well. We struggle with how we are united in one body in Christ. Down in this neck of the woods, even Lutheranism is divided because people have brought their own ideas to the forefront of their theological practice instead of relying upon Scripture and seeking out guidance from God's Holy Spirit to form and guide what we believe and teach. We best not do that. We best not confuse our theology. God's word is clear on that. For he who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. That's Proverbs 16:20. So let's talk about this good word for us today, and what to do when we encounter differences in our confessions as children of Christ. First off, we should recognize that there are indeed differences, and they will divide us. We confess, for instance, that we receive the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine of Holy Communion. We make that confession every time we partake in the Lord's Supper in the words of institution, which are completely scriptural, and we hear them repeatedly during distribution. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. We don't compromise on that because Scripture itself does not compromise on that subject. Christ in this meal is truly present, and we are brought into communion with him physically by this presence to the forgiveness of sins, and we're washed completely from the stain of sin that is committed against us by the one who is present in those elements. Baptism, too. We differ in opinion on baptism. Baptism draws us to something that God has done for our sake as he joins us into the death and resurrection of our Lord. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6:5. This is our confession, and we don't stray from it. And we don't stray from it at all because it's in keeping with God's holy word, which we believe, teach, and confess is the truth and cannot be changed. We don't vote on the validity of Scripture, as some denominations actually do. We instead check our theology against Scripture and offer up correction to those churches that err, and even go so far as to name churches heretical for their teachings if their errors are grievous and purposely unrelenting. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a necessity by all biblical truths. It's a necessity. We have to call out those who are erring grievously. Just think of Simon the Sorcerer and the heresy that he was committing in the book of Acts. Simon the Sorcerer was baptized by Philip in the early days of the church. For all intents and purposes, he became a part of the confessional ministry of that church, of our church, following Philip around as he worked to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when Simon witnessed how Peter and John prayed over that new-founded church and how when those who were baptized received the Holy Spirit, when Peter and John prayed over them and laid their hands upon them, he offered those two apostles money that he could have their power too and do the same good works as they were doing. Peter had to admonish him, saying, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking that God's gift can be bought. You have no part in this, for your heart is not right with you, with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you the evil thoughts that you have, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." Acts 8. That sounds like a harsh judgment on Peter's behalf, but the reality is when it comes right down to the nuts and bolts of faith, it's actually sound judgment. The church, when it's erring, needs to be brought back to its proper confession, that its mission, which is the proclamation of Christ and his salvation, does not get confused or in any way diminished. Paulos is another good example of how we as Christians need to address the difference between the sound and unsound theologies. In Acts 22, we read about he who was eloquent in speech and full of good intent began to minister to the people in Ephesus. He'd been instructed in the ways of the Lord. He'd been filled with the Spirit and spoke accurately of Jesus in the synagogues there, but he was only acquainted with the baptism of repentance that was being proclaimed by John the Baptist. Priscilla and her husband Aquila, a couple of Christians who were Jewish converts through Paul's ministry in Corinth, heard him speak and took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. And good things came out of all of these experiences, all of these encounters. You see, we think that the vision is bad in the church. It's not. Simon recognized the errors of his ways the moment Peter chastised him, and he said, "Pray to the Lord for me that these terrible things that you've said won't happen to me," Acts 8:24. And Apollos, having been improved in his understanding of Scripture, went on to Achaia and carried with him letters of recommendations from all those brothers who were with him in Christ to go on to strengthen those who believed in Christ powerfully and demonstrate in the Scriptures that Christ was the Christ revealed in fullness. And he did that for the Jews in that region. What a blessing. What a blessing that correction was, and what a blessing that we have in us if we actually see what's going on around us in our church as well, and offer up correction to those churches that are erring. The Word is indeed making a resurgence. Heretical church bodies are splintering now, because of the constant tension between what is biblical and what is man-made in terms of theologies. We hear it from those churches that are seeking to align themselves with the LCMS church body. "You speak the truth," they tell us. We hear it too from those churches who are on the fringe but don't want to join us. They ask, "Where did you say that was in Scripture? We never heard of it spoken in that way or considered it within our own church body." That's the power of the Word of God. That's not to say that we as Lutherans have all the right answers. Please don't ever be convinced that the only people that are going to be in church and in heaven are the LCMS church. There are going to be many, many people that are there because of what they believe. They believe in Christ and Him crucified, and the strength of their confession is Jesus. There are good Christians all over the world who are confessing these things. They're confessing Christ as salvation. And they're doing amazing things. And we can genuinely learn from them. That's why our VBS team works so very well together. The diversity of thought and the diversity of skill sets that comes out of that thought helps us to reach a far broader spectrum of people in the name of Jesus. It's God who established the church. He scattered it literally across the globe and empowered it to speak on his behalf. And there will indeed, because of that, be differences in us, differences that will define us. Some differences, as the Apostle Paul tells us in our sermon text today, will cite theologically sound reasons for not eating meat or for not meeting on a certain day, but instead meeting on a different day. Those differences we can be supportive of for one another's sake and not continue to see eye and eye. After all, our Lutheran hymnals might not work so good in a place like Africa or India or Brazil. They certainly don't work very well in Wiagmaw Lake. Some of the hymns that we sing are very good. Some of the hymns that we sing are very unfamiliar. The hymns that they sing are unfamiliar to us too. Praise God, they still proclaim Christ. The effectiveness of the church comes out of its unity in Christ. Please remember that. It doesn't come out of the common ground that we ourselves seek to find in Christ, but in the fact that He, by the power of His own blood, has drawn us to Himself and formed us into every single part of a body of believers that He deems necessary to minister to one another and to the world in this given moment of time. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," Matthew 4:19. "Follow me, and allow the dead to bury their own dead," Matthew 8:22. If you wish to become complete, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Matthew 19:21. The commonality in those three statements is not the circumstance out of which the people were called, nor is it the people themselves to whom Jesus was speaking. Their circumstances, their lives, their very natures differed in every respect. The commonality instead between them was the one who called them to follow. To them, Jesus gave this assurance: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me." John 10:27. We are his sheep. That's what we ended up talking about when that counselor asked that question. Every one of us has been given to work together for the furtherance of God's gospel because of Jesus Christ. We've been called to do so, even with the differences that make us unique. For, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, "Through the grace given to me, everyone among you, through grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." The one who has drawn us together then is central to who we are, because we who are in Christ are called together as his children, having been shaped as his mission team by his design. And that holds true of each and every one of us in this church. We are being built up daily and purposely by God to accomplish his mission. We're given discernment by God to judge between sound theological doctrine and man-made dogma. And as a stone sharpens a knife, or a straw up a razor, we are all being blessed by God to offer up help to one another, offering up good instruction and encouragement in God's word. And we're blessed by God to use that very same word that hones us to properly benefit those who are yet mired in sin. The church is continually being brought into unity with Christ by God through faith in the purpose of mission. That's how this team came together and how it will continue to be together, brought together so that we too may serve his people and minister to the world. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, Paul says of us in 1 Corinthians 12:27. I'd like to offer that up to you as your key verse for this week. Know for sure that you are in him and are so blessed to be. Know that as such you've been born into a purpose as well, grounded in your forgiveness and built up in your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise your name for drawing us together as your church. We pray for those churches that are in error of their theology. We ask that you open their eyes to Scripture and help them to see what it is that you've blessed us to see, that salvation comes through your Son, and not through the works of man, or not by the changing of Scripture. Lord God, we praise your name that you help us every day in our theological formation, that you come to us through your word, and that you continually speak to us. And I just pray that you bless us, dear God, with eyes that are open to those teachings, and that we indeed run to you instead of ignoring what it is that you say. We ask, dear God, that you continue to use us in the furtherance of your gospel. We pray, dear God, that you send us as missionaries wherever it is that you please, and that you especially use us as missionaries right here in our own hometown. Bless those whom we know through the word that you give us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.